Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
We're studying Matthew 7:1, where Jesus told us not to judge, and we're looking at the different kinds of judgment that Scripture forbids, the wrong kinds of judgment. And today we come to the third in our list, judging unmercifully. If you see someone who got mugged lying on the sidewalk, showing him mercy means helping him up, nursing his wounds, taking care of him. If someone is broke and starving, showing mercy to that person means providing his needs, giving him some food, and so on. That's what showing mercy means. So what does it look like to show mercy in the way you evaluate people?
We're not to judge legalistically. We're not to judge superficially. We're not to judge self-righteously. Now let's look at number four. We're not to judge unmercifully. And this is a big one. This, again, with the Pharisees, Matthew 9. You got these tax collector sinners, all the real scandalous, dirty kind of sinners who were repenting of that. And they were coming to faith in Christ and being saved. It was a glorious moment. And it's something that a good judge would just rejoice over. But instead, the Pharisees are there criticizing Jesus for eating with them and hanging around with that kind of a crowd. And here's Jesus' response in Matthew 9:12. I think this is funny. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means." Now that's funny. I always love when Jesus like talks like that to a Pharisee. Like they're the students. Like, you know, they're the experts. Everybody looked up to them and said, "I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Go and learn this verse." And he quotes this verse from the Old Testament. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." What God wants from you, Pharisee, is mercy towards your fellow man, your fellow brother in the faith, and you're to show mercy, not religious ritual. That's not what impresses God. So go learn what that verse means, and then come back to me. He says, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So Jesus gives him this little homework assignment to go and study this little verse about mercy. Very, very simple assignment. One verse, one sentence. But then, three chapters later, he busts them for not doing their homework. They didn't get the assignment done. Chapter 12, and now they're passing another bad judgment. They're criticizing the disciples again for because of their lack of mercy. They criticize the disciples for picking grain and eating on the Sabbath day. They say, technically, that's farming, you know, and so they don't care about, all they care about is the rules. They don't care about human hunger and human need. And so in Matthew 12:7, Jesus said, "If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' then you would have not condemned the innocent. If you just would have gotten your homework done, I wouldn't have to be standing here rebuking you again." They routinely rendered wrong judgments because they lacked mercy. Mercy is just critical for making right judgments in this kingdom. When you love someone, you care, you have compassion for that person, you will tend to judge them much better. You know, you judge people differently when you love them and when you don't like them, right? I mean, that's obvious. You look at the facts differently. And when you love someone, you put the best possible construction on what happened. There's so many blanks in our knowledge, right? We don't have all knowledge like God. And so you don't know motives, you don't know what happened, you don't know this, you don't know that, circumstances, everything else. And so when you love a person, you just fill in all those blanks with good assumptions in their favor. When you don't like someone, you fill in all those blanks with negative assumptions against that person. God absolutely requires that when we evaluate each other, we fill in all those blanks with good assumptions. We have to judge with mercy. Listen to this horrifying statement from James 2:13. "Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful." Raise your hand if you want to face merciless judgment from God. That is terrifying. That is terrifying. And the only way to avoid it is to have a heart that cuts people slack when you evaluate them. And this includes people that hurt you. People insult you. They're insensitive. They're rude. Create some problem for you. Judge them mercifully. This also includes, you ready for this? Your children. There are some parent-child relationships that have deteriorated to the point where the child feels like the parent is against them instead of for them, and in many cases, the child is right. In some cases, the parent cares more about winning the argument than about winning the child's heart. Think about those people that are way down on the bottom of your list right now. You just don't like them. They irritate you. Whatever reason, you just don't get along with them. You don't want to see them. Ask yourself, are you for them or are you against them? Whose side are you on? Can you honestly say you're on their side? You say, sides? What sides? What's the other side? I'll tell you what the other side is. Who's their accuser? Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren, right? Satan is accusing them. Whose side are you on? Are you on their side or are you on Satan's side? You know you're on Satan's side when you become carping and cattling with persistent, petty fault-finding all the time. You just always see what they do wrong. You never see what they do right. When mercy is lacking, your evaluation of the person becomes condemning, disapproving, disparaging, fault-finding, hypercritical, harsh, and unfair. You don't take into consideration mitigating circumstances. You don't have any appreciation for whatever hardship happened that made this especially difficult for the person. You have no compassion, no understanding. All you want to do is condemn. You know, if you're a judgmental person, that comes from being blind to goodness in people. Did you know that? Judgmental people usually pride themselves on being really good judges of character. They think, oh, I'm a good judge of character because I always spot the character flaws. But they're actually terrible judges of character. They're blind because even though they can spot flaws, they can't see goodness. They have eagle eyes when it comes to spotting weakness, but they're blind as a bat when it comes to spotting strengths and virtues and in people they don't like very much. Judgmental people are about as good at assessing character as flies are at assessing meat. Their attention is drawn to what's rotten.
Are there any relationships in your life where you care more about winning the argument than about winning their heart? Do you judge people the way flies judge meat? Your attention is always drawn to what's rotten? Who is the person in your life that you have the best attitude about? Do you just cut them the most slack than you cut anyone else? When you fill in the blanks of what you don't know about them, you fill in the blanks with favorable assumptions. Who is that person for you that you have that kind of attitude towards? Now ask, who is the person on the other end of that spectrum? You assume the worst when you fill in the blanks about what's probably in that person's heart. What would it be like for you to show the same mercy to that person, that second person that you show to the first person in the way that you judge them? That's what Jesus is calling us to when he commands us to learn what it means that God desires mercy above sacrifice.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.